My name is Charles Lim. Charles Lim E. Yong, usually. Yeah, I'm an artist.
I guess I just want to start talking about Sea State first.
Yeah.
Maybe to ask a general question. You've been working with it for over a decade now. Or you were saying since you were a child, you've been thinking about these ideas.
Yeah.
What's that like to engage in a project that just has such a long duration?
Actually, when I was an artist, I didn't really think of doing it. In fact, I was kind of running away from this sea thing. Because I kind of grew up around the sea. And then, you know, my father actually has a close connection to the sea. He's a kind of a self-taught sailor. I think I spend more time in the water than on land in some sense, actually. So there are many kind of like layers of how I engage the sea in a sense. Actually, I grew up in this village called Mataikan, which was kind of like a village kampong, actually, that was by the sea. But by the time I was there, when I was born, actually, the sea was not there, actually. It was actually reclaimed land. It was actually, you know, I was living in this house and my grandmother was making paint from like this called whitewash paint for, not really paint, it's called Hui Zui. Mm-hmm. And there was a pile of like seashells in front of the house. And she would take it and then she would burn it. And then the ashes would be mixed with some liquid and then she would make these like whitewash paint actually for people to buy. Mm-hmm. So I grew up like seeing that actually. And then she had this small little shrine temple, goddess of the sea. And I was like living there. And what was interesting was that when I was growing up, there was this land, kind of like desert space right in front of me. So I never kind of like saw it as the industrial. To me, it's like just the space that I grew up. And then I remember like trying to get to the sea and then I walked across the desert. And then I think it took me like something like an hour to get.
And that was the land that was being settled, right? They needed to settle it before they can build anything on it.
Yeah, I think those days, it would take like something like 4 years. Mm-hmm. So there's this space of like just nothing happening. But later on, I found out that actually there's things happening while they're waiting, actually. And I remember like, but my experience was getting to the sea. And then, you know, it's like living in a kampong. And then, you know, we had all this like myths and stories around water, actually. Like, basically, mainly to scare children from getting into the water, the whole Tui Kui thing, you know.
So you don't drown.
But and then as a kid, you want to kind of like fight against that also. So you, I always ended up playing in drains, longkangs, and then going to the sea. I remember going to the shoreline, and then there'll be a granite shore because they had to use the granite to fortify the shore. And then, you know, I'll pick up woods with my pieces of wood with my friend, and then we'll build a little hut. It's a kind of like a childhood fantasy. I think most kids have it. Kind of home away from home.
Yeah.
So I'll build a hut there and then, you know, go back home. And then next, like, few days later, I'll come back to the hut, actually.
And so this is the 80s?
Yeah, this was in the 80s, 70s. 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
So I was very young then. And then I grew up there. And then my father was, like, kind of like a self-taught sailing enthusiast. He joined the yacht club in Changi, which was started by, I think, like, RAF, like, NCOs, actually. And it was very, the club was very white, I remember. Yeah, and then he made me sail, learn sailing. I remember not liking it. But then what happened was that once I went on this sailing course where they put me in a boat and I was able to steer the boat wherever I could, I found it really liberating, actually. You know, then I kind of like kind of hooked onto it. But I was not really into competitive sailing at that point in time. So, you know, I would go to races and then I'll come in last all the time. You know, so I wouldn't care. And then, you know, and I'll frustrate my father. But then what happened was that actually when I was like around 12 years old, I had a growth spurt. I became like quite big. I was almost the same size as I am now. Yeah. And then what happened was that there was a coach and then he saw that I was like so big. And basically what happened was that I was kind of like groomed and trained to become a crew, actually. So what happened was I became kind of connected to very competitive sailing, actually. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't the person that was steering the boat. I was the person that was like the helper on the boat. So I was racing on boats that mainly have two people on board. And then through that, actually, I got into the national team. Mm-hmm. And then I started doing a lot of competitive sailing. At some point in time, I was like training for the Olympics. So I was doing that. So what happened is that, yeah, I was sailing in the sea. A lot racing in the sea. Around Changi, actually, in this area called Seafix, around Loyang, there's this area between like around this area also between Ubin and Tekong. And also there are these races around Ubin. So I would say around
quite Ubin. A closed area, actually.
Very quite right? Close area. Closed area. Yeah. And then the Johor Lama also. Mm-hmm. Because during that time, I think the border was still quite like, you know, you could actually just take a sailing boat and go across, go into the kampong.
Not anymore.
You can't do that anymore. No. I used to do that all the time actually. There's one time I think we were supposed to race around Ubin. You know, and being the non-competitive person I was, you know, all my friends were racing around and I would actually like stop and then go to Johor, walk around, then after that, get on the boat and then they continue to race. And then I remember I got like scolding for that. Why the hell did you do that? You know, so I was really into exploring actually.